welcome everybody to another episode of Pod Strickland. I'm your host, Shwini Poo, and this is episode 230. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Prez, that is at Presidente on Twitter. Prez, how are you doing? How's life?
I'm very tired and very sore because I hooped for the first time in like 2.5 months. Recovering from a wrist surgery, and it's just fucking like basketball sore, like all these little shitty stabilizer muscles I don't know the fucking name of, but it was a good time.
Yeah, it's basically muscles you don't even know exist until you play sports.
Yeah, I didn't die though, so you know, give myself a solid B.
So you've got that going for you, which is nice. Did you watch Aaron Judge hit his 60th homer last night?
No, not live. I fucking turned the game off to go play ball and that it was late hooping, in the evening. And then I came back and saw the shit from the ninth inning and it just blew my mind.
Well, at least you had a nice surprise when you got home. So you got that going for you, which is nice. All right. But before we get started, I do have to make an announcement that the Strickland has a Patreon. You can subscribe to it. There are a number of tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to this podcast right here, Pod Strickland, that I do every Friday with Prez. You also get access to the Strickland Mailbag, hosted by Drew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, that comes out every other week. You also get access to the Strickland Discord, where the conversation never stops. There's also a $9 tier that gets you access to Strick and Roll, my solo pod, where I rant and rave about the Knicks even more. You also get access to wonderful weekly articles by Jack Cully and Matthew Miranda, two of the best in the business. There are further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. Those come with a variety of additional benefits like listening in on pod recordings, merchandise discounts, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly. Whether you choose to subscribe or not, none of this would be possible without you. So, without further ado, all right, I guess we should probably talk about the very serious addition of Quentin Rose. No, we don't need to talk about that. I have no idea who he was until the Knicks apparently signed him, and I don't plan on learning anything about him. But just so you know, if you didn't know, the Knicks signed somebody named Quentin Rose. Congratulations.
Breaking the streak of end of bench white guys that they signed.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at his profile real quick. He looks like another type of scoring guard type, and I'm just like, the evidence mounts that maybe they're too into this type, but I digress. All right, I guess now you can introduce this, because this was like your thing, so I'm gonna let you introduce what we're doing today.
Yeah, so you know, we're both fans of Game of Thrones and fantasy shows and all that shit, but mostly both, Game of Thrones.
We're both losers. Right?
We're both people who enjoy prestige TV. Actually, you are more than me. I don't watch like all those fucking important shows that everybody, anytime we're in the Strickland Discord and like it turns into like, let's talk about The Sopranos or Breaking Bad, I just immediately close it.
For the record, we like never talk about Breaking Bad because just not that interesting. I mean, it's a great show, but it's just not that interesting.
Again, you all have opinions on all those things, which is my cue to exit. If y'all start talking about anime, then I'll hop back in, but that's about it. But yeah, no, I was watching House of the Dragon, and we were just in a DM, and it just, I thought it would be fun to just go through the Westeros universe and try to find some analogs between characters and player, not even just players, but players, front office, whoever, just in the Knicks world, motherfuckers on Twitter, it could be whoever in the orbit of the Knicks, but specifically for the players to find guys who are analogous, not just to who they are, but who they might be, where they're going. You know, we had, what, 8 seasons worth of Thrones, and now we have this couple episodes of House of the Dragon.
I like to think that we actually only had 6 seasons of Thrones.
You're right. I don't know what, yeah, I don't know what, I was misinformed. I don't know where I got my my notes here.
The last 2 seasons never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So I haven't put much thought into it, but
All right, look, we should start.
The most fun is starting with Tibbs. We got to start with Tibbs, right?
We have to start with Tibbs because that's where this entire idea came from.
Right. I forgot. It started with clowning Tibbs, like most of our podcasts.
but I'll let you go because you've been peer pressuring me to do this podcast. So we're doing this podcast.
Your memory for this stuff is really good. So I'm probably going to come up with a shit comparison and then you'll come up with a more on point one. So
that's why I let you go first. I can get you to give me the rough draft.
Yeah.
When I come in, I'll
lower the bar for you. All right. So if Tibbs is a fucking stubborn guy with a good reputation, but also a bad reputation, who is set in his ways and his decisions lead to the ruin of a kingdom. Who would that be? I'm trying to think.
Can I just go?
Yeah, you can just go.
Tibbs is Stannis.
Okay.
He has to be Stannis.
I feel like Stannis is nice though, but he's not nice. You're right.
Stannis is he's super regimented. Everything is black or white for him, right?
That's true.
It's either good or it's bad. And he's also willing to sell his soul to get the thing he deserves, which is, he's right. He is technically the rightful heir. Which I don't know how much sense that makes because his brother wasn't the heir, so technically they took
reasonable claim.
Yeah. He is the rightful heir technically, but he sells his soul to become the king, to inherit armies. What does he do? Right, he goes to the Red Woman, and they basically have a spirit baby, which kills his brother, and then he gets to take all his armies. And he invades King's Landing, and he loses the battle. But the entire point is, he loses on his terms. Yeah, he loses on his terms. He doesn't give a shit how many people have to be sacrificed for him to get what he needs, which is
his way.
Yeah. So
in and that, he has some level of respect.
Oh yeah, people respect him. He's
another key similarity here. Yeah. We don't respect Tibbs, but people in the league respect Tibbs. They might not hire him, but they respect him.
And Stannis is a badass. Tibbs to some extent, I guess, kind of can be a badass.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, right? So when they're invading King's Landing, they have to, all the ships blow up, right? Half the ships blow up because of wildfire. And he's like, okay, I guess we just have to land here. And make this mile-long march along the walls before we can, get into the city. And one of his soldiers is like, "Sir, the hundreds will die." And he just looks at him like ice cold, and he's like, "No, thousands." And he's like, "But we're still going, bro." So
that's like a conversation in the front office with I can see him talking to Leon Rose and Brock Haller, and he's like, "But sir, Obi Toppin, unless we make a deal, is gonna only get 25 minutes per game." And then Tibbs just looks Brock dead in the eye and says, "No, 15 minutes per game."
Yeah, I think Tibbs is definitely Stannis. You could convince me of some other people, but I think Stannis is the best because Stannis is cold. And here's the key. This is the key. Stannis thought he was the prince that was promised. Right? Stannis thought he was the prince that was promised. But he's not. He wasn't. He fucking fails. He dies at the hands of, what is his name? Ramsay, the bastard of Winterfell. He dies. He gets killed. Half his soldiers abandon him, which I think is key. Many of his...
That hasn't happened yet for the Knicks.
It hasn't happened yet here, but that has happened. It happened in Chicago at the end. Yep. By the end. Yep. It happened in Minnesota by the end. These are things... yes, he engenders this tremendous loyalty initially. And he is, Stannis is called... He's, all of the descriptors of him are so, Tibbs. It's, he's this wizened, old war general, who has experience.
Right, grizzled.
He's a grizzled war veteran who's been through it all. And it's, but do they love him? That's always the thing. That's one of the things they talk about constantly. In the first couple of seasons of Game of Thrones is because his brother is obviously trying to get the crown too, right? Renly. And he's like, well, they don't love him. Nobody loves you, Stannis. And it's like, I don't know if nobody loves Tibbs. Like, there are a couple people, you know, like Derek Rose, probably Taj Gibson. Like, I'm sure, like, most, I'm sure even most, a lot of the guys on this team love him to some extent.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a shelf life on this stuff. And I think we're getting to that point in time. I think we're getting to what was Stannis' Winterfell moment. I think we're approaching Tibbs' Winterfell moment at some point in the season. But we'll see. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. That would be great, because that would mean that he's doing something right and we're winning games. But that's what it feels like. So I'm going with Stannis.
It's a great choice.
All the perils are there. And yeah, that's
like extremely on the nose on many levels. Like, if all of our comparisons are that good, then this will be a fucking dope ass episode. But I expect it to be much less successful than that. All right. So that's Tibbs. Continuing with non-players, let's go with Leon. So Leon sits in the fucking shadows, doesn't say shit, has respect. Nobody talks to him. He's supposed to be wise, but we're kind of not sure. I'm trying to think. Stupid, but part of me wanted to say fucking Bran, just because nobody's fucking sitting and chilling for most of the show.
Bran is, he's just awful by the end of the show. I can't even deal with
it. Yeah, but to be fair, if that comparison holds, then that's good for the Knicks, right? Because Bran ends up fucking winning.
But that's why we can't, Leon can't be Bran yet. Because Bran literally, like, ends up becoming this all-powerful god who can, like, see the future and the past.
Yeah, we don't know what the future holds for Leon, man.
I mean, we don't know, but I would say that
this could be like season 3 Bran.
He has not
where he's just like riding someone's back north of the wall.
Yeah, but he can warg by then. He can warg by then into the
and Leon can warg into CAA employees' PowerPoint presentations and documents and emails.
This is a terrible comparison for Leon. Brad might be the worst one.
All right. Harsh but fair. No, and most importantly, like, I feel like Leon has to be someone in a much more clear position of power than Bran. Because Bran gets that, but he doesn't have that for the majority of the time.
Yeah. Okay, I have one for Leon, but I'm waiting for you to give me a good one. Because I know Bran was not a serious one.
No. I probably should have reviewed Thrones character. Let me pull up the fucking Game of Thrones Wikipedia here.
All right, I'll do this while you're doing this. Yeah. I think Leon, there's two candidates, okay? I'm going to go with the first one since we just talked about Stannis. I don't know if I feel that great about this one, but I think there's an argument for it. Leon could be, he could be Melisandre, the Red Woman, okay? And ooh, why?
Spicy and take.
So Melisandre comes out of nowhere, right? In the start of the second season, she's just kind of like thrown into this world. We don't even know she exists in the first season. We know Stannis exists, even though we don't see him until the start of the second season, but we don't even know she exists in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Leon just kind of like, all of a sudden we woke up one day and it was like, you know, James Dolan is hiring Leon Rose to be president of basketball operations for the Knicks. And I was just like, ain't he an agent? Like, where did this come from? What the hell just happened? So I think that's one parallel. The other
that's
one,
a solid one.
The other part is this. She picks, right? Melisandre picks Stannis because she says, I've seen you in the flames. Like, you are the prince that was promised. I've seen you on a field fighting and killing all your enemies. Like, Leon handpicked Tibbs. Tibbs was his guy. He's like, all right, you're going to be the head coach of the Knicks. If you're ever going to get another chance in the NBA as head coach, it's going to be me with here with me. And we're going to put you in a position that you've never had before with all of the support internally. Like, we're all bros here, and I'm going to have your back, and like, you're the prince that was promised, Tibbs. Go get him. But what happens? At the end of it, at the end, at Stannis' end, before the final battle that he fights and dies at, she leaves. She leaves the camp. She abandons the camp because she sees the writing on the wall. And I feel like Leon is going to see the writing on the wall. And then here's the key. Then she rides north. She finds Jon Snow. She's like, actually, this motherfucker is the prince that was promised. And he was the prince that was promised, even though the show ended up being really fucking stupid. But like, he was the prince that was promised. And that, so the hopefully, and we will get to him maybe, hopefully the Jon Snow character is sitting on her bench already.
But does that make Jon Snow Johnny Bryant?
We will get to that.
Makes sense because, like, if you consider Utah like a fucking wasteland, right? Then that's where Johnny Bryant was toiling, just developing his leadership skills and all that shit. So I'm gonna segue right into that. I'm with it. I didn't plan that.
I just want to say my backup for Leon was gonna be.
I have another backup for Leon too.
It was. I don't know. I wonder if we came to the same one. I was gonna say Varys.
I thought about that,
but he's like too
he talks too much. That's the opposite of Leon.
No. Varys doesn't. Varys talks, but only like internally. Right? His whole,
he's like, that's true. That's true. Trusted circles and all that.
He has his network of little kids, basically, that he like uses to just get shit done everywhere in the world. But the other thing, the thing with Varys too, is that remember, like, Ned Stark's asking him, like, what is it you want? Like, you know,
right.
It's like to serve the realm. Like, I don't know. Like, that's tough because then it's like.
It's hard to decipher motivation.
Yeah. Well, which is true with Leon. We don't.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we don't decipher motivation. But the problem is, like, I don't. Like, Varys never ends up really leading anything.
No, like, he doesn't.
And so, like, for that reason, I just don't think it's right. And then I couldn't go with some other characters like Littlefinger. That didn't make sense. Like,
so I'm gonna cheat a little, and this is not a spoiler, but if you watch House of the Dragon, I think there's some commonality. If you have a negative view of the front office, you might notice some commonalities between Leon and Viserys, because both of them
no decisions.
Both of them don't do decisions and try to please everybody, and they're just like. You know, they were appointed to some degree. I mean, Leon chose his job, but like everybody assumed they would be as good as the great people who have previously done it, or better than the awful people who have previously done it, right? There's some similarities there with like the Knicks front office line and the Targaryens, which your mileage may vary on successful rulership. And I mean, we don't hear Leon talk, but presumably this motherfucker's exasperated dealing with Tibbs versus Brock versus Wes versus the beat writers always complaining about him, and he can't choose who's gonna be the heir. Was it RJ? Is it fucking Donnie Mitchell, right? Like, there's something there.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I just, like, we don't know him well enough, and it's also, right. Like, he's like, I don't know, we're not gonna spoil the show. Let's just, it's, I don't know, I just can't do it. For reasons. Yeah, for reasons that I will elaborate on a year from now or something. And you're lucky if you're listening to this that I'm not spoiling the show for you. But yeah, no, I think...
There's an extra Patreon tier with spoilers. You have to pay for that.
It's the $100 tier. Don't worry about it.
We'll actually just read Dance of Dragons to you with our beautiful voices. We'll play all the characters.
I'm sticking with Melisandre for Leon.
So I think that's a great choice.
So Leon is now a redheaded woman who
gave birth to a demon baby.
Demon baby.
Murderer.
Yeah. And basically communes with spirits.
I mean, you know.
Okay. All right. We got to do this one. He's the only beat writer I wanted to do.
Berman?
Yeah, Berman. I know who Berman is.
Give me like, let me see. Berman? Okay, so who's the most fucking trolling, annoying character who just carries out the agenda of somebody else?
It's so obvious.
Who is it?
He's Littlefinger, man.
I don't think he's Littlefinger.
He doesn't give a fuck how he gets to the top. He doesn't care who he has to carry water for. He doesn't.
That is true.
All he wants is access, and he doesn't care who gives him the access, because he knows that whenever that person
they don't want to rule,
yeah,
but they want the power.
Well, Littlefinger wants to rule, technically, but he really can never get to that point.
Right. Like, he knows. He's not dumb.
He's just trying to get as far as he can. But all Berman wants is access. And Berman will, he'll carry out anybody's orders for access, but at the same time, he'll also betray anybody for access. And I don't know. I think Berman's Littlefinger. I don't know who else he would be, because like Littlefinger's annoying. Littlefinger's like,
he's a troll, and he's a public troll.
He's a troll. He owns a whorehouse. I don't know if Berman owns a whorehouse.
All right.
Not sure if Berman's that kind of connoisseur. But no, I think he's Littlefinger. Like he betrays, like he helps Ned, right? Can't you see Berman like this for the last 2 years? He's been carrying water for Tibbs. And then like when
I feel like Littlefinger, if we have to expand the scope of this extended podcast analogy, I feel like Littlefinger is Woj. Way more than Berman.
Yeah, Littlefinger would definitely be Woj.
Because, like Berman, like, there's something lighthearted about endearing about his trolls and his never-ending quest for access and, you know, all that shit. And, like, Littlefinger is, like, he creeps people out, right? Like, I would fucking drink with Berman. Right? Like, everybody would drink with Berman, right? Like, even if you disagree with him on everything, it's just, he's a charismatic guy. And I mean, Littlefinger's charismatic in his own way, so I'm saying that's a good call, but Woj is like, it's like your first, like your Tibbs analogy. Like, that Woj Littlefinger is, like, too on the nose. Like, they might have fucking, Woj might have just, like, gained inspiration from him, like, straight up, actually, in real life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Berman's tough. It's like, because you're right, he's not powerful enough to be. You know who he could be? I know who he is. I know exactly who he is. He's Grandmaster Pycelle.
Ooh. Yes. Yes.
He, like, pretends to be this old, like, weak person. You know, he just, oh, I can't even get out of
like, bed. I'm just a beat writer for the Post, right? Like, this. Who am I? Like, what? This is just the Twitter masses going crazy.
And it actually works better because mm-hmm. Pycelle actually works underhandedly for
that's right
for the Lannisters, which we mm-hmm. find out he actually poisons the hand of the king, right? He poisons Jon Arryn, which we find out later. Or at least he carries out some of that stuff, and it's just. He does all this shit, and he's like, "Oh, I did it all for Lannister, House Lannister." And then Tyrion cuts his beard off. But like, yeah, I think it's Pycelle. I think Pycelle. That's the one. Because you're right.
That's it.
Littlefinger is too. There's too much going on there. Berman's not that serious. Like Woj is definitely Littlefinger. But yeah, he's Pycelle. It works because he's like this. He's been around forever, right?
Exactly. He predates Woj.
Yeah, like Pycelle. They talk about it. He's been like the Grand Maester for like 15 kings or some shit. And Berman, this guy's been on the beat.
I literally don't remember the Knicks without Berman, basically.
Yeah, he's like, as long as I've read articles about the Knicks, he has been the Knicks reporter for the New York Post. Like, that's just who it is. It's crazy. Like, that's a long time because, no, actually, it's not that long. I'm a young guy. I haven't been around.
A couple years.
All right, we're going to move on. I think this can be our second to last non-player person. Okay.
I want to do Johnny Bryant. I'm running with it. Johnny Bryant, Jon Snow. He's friends with a bunch of motherfuckers who are important, and he has important people who would ride or die for him. He was banished to a weird place that people don't want to go, and then eventually had to get the fuck out of there. He has a mix of experiences working for different coaches and working with different players that makes him theoretically a great choice to lead / rule / teach. And he's basically the savior waiting in the wings.
It works for a few reasons. They say he's been groomed, right? So he's mm-hmm. he is being groomed for command when he gets picked to be a steward, which he's very upset about. initially. So he's like super upset, but there's like, you're being groomed for command. And, you know, he's kind of earmarked at an early age as somebody who could be the next Lord Commander of the Wall.
Right. A big leader, but not the big leader.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. There are people, old people
in his fucking way.
Old, but and not just in the way, there's
old outdated haters.
There's old grumpy white men in his path who are pissed off that this guy is coming for the throne and want to get rid of him, which is like Tibbs. What did Bourbon wrote something crazy last year, which was
crazy. He was wilding for Tibbs, where they would just throw in Johnny Bryant shit for no fucking reason in the article.
He said something like, oh, there's no point in like switching coaches because there's no way that Johnny Bryant could do like as good a job as Tibbs is doing. Meanwhile, we're like going 3-17 in February. I'm like, are we sure that nobody could do this job? So I think Johnny Bryant's good. And also, like, we got to have something to hope for, right? Like, that's right.
He's the prince
that was promised, so that when he's picked, we can all come back to this podcast, and we will be like, wow, Schwinn and Prez call this. The NFL's opening week was action-packed, and it's just getting started. Get ready for week two of touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. Want more action? Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. It's simple. This Sunday, bet on any NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TBPN to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code TBPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of JID, and it's been great. One reason it's been great to listen to, because I use my Raycon wireless earbuds to do it. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge. Trust me. Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. Raycons are priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. I personally just love the earbud tap functions. Those are really nice. The awareness mode is also great because as soon as you turn on your little Bluetooth thing on the phone, it automatically locks in. And let me tell you, I go on a run every single day. I can't hear anything when I have these in. So highly recommend, have enjoyed my usage of them. Go to buyraycon.com today and use code TBPN15 to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's code TBPN15 at buyraycon.com to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com, code TBPN15.
I want to do World Wide West.
Yeah.
So that's the next. Who's a wild out character who's just like fucking saying what's on his mind? Everybody loves him. He's not as powerful, but one guy who came to mind is actually Bronn.
Okay, I could see Bronn.
The mercenary dude.
I don't think Bronn is. I don't think he's. Direct, like he's not a big enough character. I don't think
that's fair, even though I could totally both see them just like taking their shirt off and screaming about an ally.
So, the thing with Wes is that he's a super large presence who does work in the shadows. He could be Varys, he's bald. Varys is bald,
that's true.
I don't think Wes is a eunuch, but.
No, I don't think so.
But he is bald. He is like he is the master of whispers, right? His entire thing is like he's connected to all these players, and you're like, wait, why?
Why does he know so many people?
Why is, like, I remember watching the Malice in the Palace documentary, and you're just like, wait, why is Wes there? And why is he, like, protecting Ron Artest right now? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, who can forget when Jay-Z name drops Worldwide West? I could see Jay-Z name dropping fucking Varys.
Drake has also name dropped West. I feel like he's Varys. And at the core of it, Wes is like, he is loyal to people who are loyal to him, but he's also cutthroat enough that, like,
he's not trying to be a part of the losing team.
Yeah,
ever. Yes.
And the other big thing, I think, is he says he serves the realm, which is like a very vague kind of. It means something, but at the same time, it could mean absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And like Wes has this role in the front office that is like, it's something, but we actually have no idea like what exactly is everybody's role. And Wes falls into this kind of like thing where you're just like, well, I guess you do something. I don't know exactly what it is you do. You just like scream about stuff in the draft room. Like, I don't know. Is that your thing? You go to the Dallas and Utah playoff game and, you know, wink at Jalen Brunson and
exactly.
Donovan Mitchell. Like, yeah, I think Varys works. Varys is connected. Wes is connected. Yeah, I'm good with Varys. I'm very okay with that.
All right. Is there a nerdy enough character for Brock Aller? Do they have nerds in the Thrones universe? Who's the fucking master of coins?
master of coins. It's like basically somebody who's like, well, so
it could be that motherfucker from, I forget his character's name, but he's that British dude who's in mad shows. Who's like, what's the name of the dudes with the bank?
The Iron Bank.
I forget the name of the tall white British guy.
He's in the Sherlock Holmes show.
Yeah, I know him as Mycroft Holmes.
Yeah, he's Mycroft.
That could be fucking Brock. Everybody wants to vie for his advice and his skills with the dollars.
But he's like not.
He's like not important enough.
Well, he's also like not a friend of Westeros at all. Like, he's not connected to any of them.
But he's not really a connected person though.
I know who he is. He is. What's her name? The Tyrell, the old Tyrell.
Oh, the OG Grandma Tyrell.
Yeah, that's him.
No, she's too. She's like the.
But she
she's like a savage, low key.
She is
not even low key, high key.
She is, but they're like a super rich family. They like finance everything. They like help. They bail out the realm from debt at various points. They provide grain to King's Landing during times of famine. They are kind of the force that defects to Tywin at the Blackwater, which allows him to come in and destroy Stannis at the end, which is, you know, Aller, like, his goal is to destroy Tibbs before it's all said and done. Get him at the paint. I think it's him. I'm going with it. That's my answer for Aller.
I'm still going with Mycroft Holmes, all right? All right, I don't know if there's any other front office or coach guys.
There's one person we have to do. Got to do it.
Who? Jonathan Macri.
No. We can do Macri, but that's for later. We'll do that for later. No, we're going to do Mr. James Dolan.
Oh, shit, duh. he's got to be Robert Baratheon, right?
But, like, he's a like
Dolan. But he hasn't died yet, unfortunately.
Dolan is alive. So
season one, Robert Baratheon.
No, I think Dolan is Daenerys.
Dolan is not fucking Daenerys, bro.
It has to be.
He inherited the wealth, the power. That you got that going for you.
Is he Joffrey?
He's definitely closer to fucking Joffrey than Daenerys, bro.
Daenerys at the end, I don't know, man. She turns.
No, stop it. I'm staying with Robert Baratheon. I know he dies, but they got the same vibes. I'm here. I got power. Fuck it. I'm going to do what I want. And someday James Dolan is going to die hunting a boar. I don't know.
I think. So, okay. The thing with Dolan, right, is let's just say he's a bad basketball owner. Fine. Whatever. I don't really want to debate that part of it. But he is good at certain things. Like his business, right? He's actually done well. He sold businesses at the top. He sold Cablevision before that industry kind of completely went to shit. He's done well for himself in like his entertainment shit, right? Whatever. So he's like good at certain things, but he's bad at others. But he's like kind of a ruin. Like he's like kind of maybe capable of making a redemption arc, but then you're like, are you? I don't know.
Just like Baratheon. That's what I'm saying.
I think, what if he's Jaime? Who's like this kind of horrible person when you think about it.
No, he's very horrible, yeah, but he's charismatic.
He's very horrible, but he at some point in the show, you're like, well, like, is he like...
You're like, am I fucking rooting for this asshole?
Is he like turning it around? Did he find some like love with Brienne of Tarth? Is this what's going on now? Like, I feel like Dolan is like, we accept that like, yes, he is bad, but we're always like, I don't know, like he hasn't meddled in a while and he just like signs checks. Is he capable of this? And the thing is, at the end, Jaime actually still sucks. So like, whatever. So it's possible that at the end of this all, we'll be like, man, is Dolan a good owner? And then we're going to be like, no, definitely wasn't. Never was, actually, when we look back at it. And like, Jamie's kind of like, he has some good qualities, but he's never actually a good person. He does some terrible shit.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Rob.
I'm going with Jaime. I can't do Rob. I can't do it. Rob is just like fat and fucking, he's in the show for 5 seconds and dies. Can't do it. Dolan is Ned Stark.
Dolan's not Ned Stark.
Just so honorable. Such an honorable man. Okay.
Stark is like Jeff Van Gundy or some shit. I don't know, man.
Dolan is, maybe we just don't, maybe there is no Dolan Westeros. You know who Dolan is? He's the Mad King.
Yes. There we go.
Mad King. He's Aerys. He was once fine and then became insane and drew his fingernails out super long.